Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast. Thank you.
When your life is on the line, you know who you truly are, what you believe and feel in the depth of your soul. Knowing everything is at stake, and so it is from the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we learn about people whose life we are on the line and discovered how some soared with a heroic faith by a unique trust in God and how others plummeted in the failure of their lives because they were not willing to trust themselves to God in that most pressing moment. In today's scripture that Tatil read for us today, it is a story of Paul in the midst when his life was on the line, and he knew the story from scripture. He knew how it was from Noah of old when the whole existence of earth was on the line. And he had a moral vision to see a future different than a sinful past and began to build an ark by which all who were willing could come and sail into a new future. There was Abraham that was said of him in the book of Hebrews, in the midst of the most pressing times, because he was willing to believe that God existed and to trust them and reward those who diligently seek him, then he was able to become this model of inspiration for us even to today. It was the woman Esther who, in the safety of being in the emperor's house, could have played it safe, but when her uncle said to her that your people are endangered, your courage is needed now. And who knows, Esther, but for such a time as this, maybe God has appointed you to be at this place. And she stepped forward when their lives were on the line and on their behalf. She not only saved a day, but she saved a people. The name for our ministry plan for 2020-2021 is named after that, for such a time as this, that we step forward as individuals and as a people. We step forward into a future that God is designing by way of his grace if we are willing to know who we truly are in light of him. Our stretch into the offering of in-person Sunday school today was simply our becoming agile and adapting to have an option by which a in-person or a Zoom or a hybrid where both could be experienced by the class was our stepping into a future to say this COVID-19 has entered a safer stage for us within San Antonio, and therefore we are able to take our next step in turning into the future. That experience for us is a people for such a time as this that we would look for each way that we may be able to honor God with our life. In this character of Paul, who wrote a fourth of the New Testament, for whom now from the book of Acts to the very end of the book, it will be about his being on the defense, his being arrested, his giving an explanation of his faith, his life being on the line. And we discover who God had been shaping him to be all along. A remarkable person who for many years of my life, I didn't like. I felt guilty about it as a boy. I knew I was supposed to like Paul. As a teenager, I know that he was quoted frequently by a pastor I loved and my Sunday school teachers. I kept it as my kind of a dirty secret. I just didn't like him. I didn't like him because he seemed to be arrogant, cocky, you know, be like me and do it my way. And then there was this thing about how he really felt about women. And, well, I just didn't think I'd want to be his next door neighbor. Until I began to be an adult. And then I realized what a remarkable person he was. When some of the pressures of adulthood began to press upon me. And I could see that in his transformation, he indeed was humble by the grace of how God had forgiven him for his sin. And he was bold enough in his humility to say, let's follow Christ together. Let me show you a way. And let's build a people called the church, a new humanity before God in a world that desperately needs this new humanity for our lives. And for women, turns out he was one of the biggest advocates for everyone to understand that women were equally important to God as men, and to serve in the life of the church and the movement of God on the front line in an equal way. I just didn't get him until I got him. I had to change. And then I could see him more clearly. I'm not sure what your relationship is with some of the people you read about in the Bible, or this one in particular, the Apostle Paul. But it may be instructive for us about America today that we have preconceived ideas who certain people are. And we take our preconceived ideas and we superimpose them on every situation when that person shows up. But it may be that what God is saying, put a pause on that. See it from who you are and what this moment is and who this person is without your presupposed idea. And let there be an update along the way. One of the reasons Paul was in a crisis is that people didn't want to do that with him. And so they were ready to kill him. I mean, literally, to kill him. We discover then in this passage help for our own life. Three ways that we ourselves can know more clearly who we are when life is on the line, so that we will be all the more ready to live our lives each day, because each day has that kind of accountability for it. One is to know. Know who you are in light of God. This is our faith story. One of the legacies that Judd leaves with our youth and our youth leaders is for everyone to know their conversion story, their faith story, and then to be able to tell that story in 3 minutes as a way of conveying the clarity of who we are in Christ into the lives of others. That's really a call for all of us to know your faith story. That who you know your identity because of your identity in Christ. Grace Charles, who would Sunday mornings would be seated right there next to her daughter Diana. They were the two beautiful ladies that would have their hats and dressed to the nines, and just a remarkable person of faith who 90 years ago, meaning in 1929, she was born into a racially segregated America. But by her faith in Christ, she knew who she belonged in him. And then lived her life in the freedom of Christ. And so when she passed away at the end of last week, she knew into whose presence she was entering. She knew that she was entering the perfection of what God had always intended creation to be, where there are no distinctions by human-made standards, but it's the clarity of knowing the freedom of being equal unto each other by the grace of God who allows us to be in his family. She lived that way here on earth, and part of the venturing that she gave for us. Now, in the context for Paul in this passage of Acts 22, when his life was on the line, he had chosen to go from the western part of the Christian movement, the far edges of Greece, to sail across several seas in order to get back to the soil of Israel and to go to Jerusalem to take an offering of churches of the West, Greek churches, Gentile churches, non-Jewish churches, which was themselves a stretch to say that they would love the Jewish Christians and wanted to be supportive of them for their difficult time. And as he took this offering all along the way, his conscience was saying to him, just prepare yourself, because you are not going to be welcomed with open arms when you get back to Jerusalem. And prophets would speak the message and worship experiences along the way from one port to the next port, making their way back to Israel to say, you will encounter opposition and your life will be threatened. And still he went. Because he said it is, I sense that this is a purpose of God for me to go back to Jerusalem. And why he did is part of the secret of the story. When he arrived at Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians indeed as a whole welcomed him, celebrated his good news story of how God was at work among slaves and free, male and female, boys and girls, Jews and Greeks. This remarkable new humanity that God was creating, and giving the story of how Christ was the source of this new humanity, even like a new Adam and Eve is how he would write about it in Romans. But there were some who were not pleased, and they were the ones who gave him the threat that almost took his life. You could say they were stealing his identity. They couldn't get at him legitimately. They couldn't get at him by making an accusation that was true. So they went by way of gossip and libel and slander. That's identity theft. Anytime somebody gossips, that person's guilty of identity theft. 3.2 million cases of identity theft are reported annually in the United States. And here we see what an old practice it is in a different way, not in the virtual reality way, but in the way of people saying lies about another. So what Paul wanted to do was to prove that indeed he was faithful to the law of the Old Testament as a follower of Christ. And as he went to the temple, then he was observing the requirements which were there to help remove the misperceptions about him. But some people don't want to see the truth. Some people only want to see their own distortion of the truth. And so they then caused the crowd to rise up against him and were about to kill him. Because you see, in the temple courtyard in Jerusalem, there was the court of the Gentiles, where anybody from anywhere could go to that part of the temple. But after that, it was only then the court of the Israel, Jewish men or women, or those who had been proselytized. And then only for the men, where the women couldn't go any farther. And then finally, where the men could be, and then where the priest would go. It was a matter of segregation. It was a matter of distinction according to man-made interpretation of who was in and who was out. Of course, you know, Christ did away with all of that on the cross. He did away with all of that because the temple curtains were torn down literally when he was hanging on the cross at Calvary. And Paul was going in that setting and communicating the story of God's great love for everyone. And so it was a Roman guard that saved him. And Paul began to talk to this Roman guard in Greek. He had been speaking in Aramaic earlier, a language of that region. And he asked for the privilege to speak to all the people who had wanted to kill him. His life was on the line. And when he turned to speak to them, he was telling them, I know who I am in light of God. And I want you to know my faith stories that you may see this more clearly. You find that in the passages again that the Till family read for us in Acts 22, 14 through 16. You'll notice that there are three verbs that really get highlighted here. That is to know, see, and hear. That I know that the grace of Christ came to me in this dramatic conversion story of Damascus, but it wasn't just a back then story, it's a here now story. And I was able to see the power of Christ's vision of how the future could be shaped by a love for all people, Gentile and Jew. And I heard the voice say to me, now go and let this be your life calling, to live in this way, to be my witness. You remember that's how the book of Acts began, by saying that we'd be the witnesses or empowered by the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. There Paul then is giving a witness back into Jerusalem about what had happened in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it was a radical grace that many at the temple didn't want to hear. And so we come to the second part of the story. And we ask, what shall we do? We can ask daily and answer three questions. That is that we ask and answer these three questions of before we do something, before we make a decision. Will this honor God, and will this help other people to live their best life? And will this enable me to be at my best in light of God's hope for my life? Is it honoring God? Will it help others? Is being true to God's call in my life? When Paul had asked, what shall I do after his conversion? the word was spoken to him about the power of a transformation. And as he lived his life, as I read the story and come to my understanding of it, those are the three questions that he developed and he lived out. How about you? Can you ask those three questions and answer them each day? And that in this day, will I honor God by how I live today? Will I live my life in such a way that will help others to be able to live their best life? And will I be true to who I am in Christ by doing what I will do this day? Of course, that's what the story of baptism is all about. Sadie led us beautifully in that story today in her baptism. And with the drawing that was shown was the drawing that she was able to envision to be able to communicate that part of the story. If the Shelnut family, would y'all kind of raise your hand where you are right now? And would y'all please stand as a Shelnut family? That in light of that God's holy moment, first with Sadie and a while back, it was with Jackson, with Dad and Mom, with Karen and Jeff, that God's blessings upon you, that as each of you grow individually in your life in Christ, this transformation, that you also encourage each one. And then as a family as a whole, and then that impact helps us as a Trinity family and helps us in the life of our city as we do our work. God's blessings upon you. See, it's a story of a transformation. Thank you. Because what we've challenged ourselves with since this season of Pentecost, May 29th to now, is the story about when we come to accept Christ as Savior, we also commit for Him to be Lord. And that is that we bring our pocketbook, and it is to be transformed. We bring our politics, they're to be transformed. We are to bring our understanding of race, and it is to be transformed. We're to bring our understanding of ageism, and it is to be transformed. Every way of our thinking and feeling is to get transformed by this relationship with Christ. And our preconceived understandings of any of that kind of stuff is baptized under the water, is baptized to be resurrected in the power of Jesus Christ. And the judgment coming on America is the church is not doing this. And the church is not leading the way for this. But it's not too late. And we at Trinity are committed to be on the front line to do this under His grace and do it faithfully and to do this well. It was hard news for all of us on Friday morning when we received word that our president and the first lady had tested positive for COVID-19 and that members of the administration were testing positive. And we began to pray then on Friday for them as we had prayed for the families of 200,000 people who had died of COVID-19 in America and the more than 7 million people who had tested positive and been treated and were in recovery from COVID-19. We were all kind of catching our balance after an anguishing presidential debate from earlier in the week. What a time this is for us to say the church, the people of God, and the movement of Jesus Christ, that we can model how to work through our differences by a larger purpose of what God is wanting to accomplish, to make possible. And that's the third part of this story. The faith centers us beyond the circumstances so that we can see what God is wanting to make possible. So there's Paul. He's standing on the Antonia Fortress, named after Mark Antony. He's speaking to now his people in Hebrew. He shifted his languages from Greek to Aramaic, now to Hebrew. He knew Latin as well, and keeping his composure, he's speaking now in the language of the people of the Scripture. And as he's telling his story, and what he was seeing is angry faces coming at him. But he was centered because he saw this larger purpose. And I think Paul knew why he had returned to Jerusalem before then. But if not, it was really clear to him now. Why did he go back to Jerusalem when he knew that it might require his life and it was dangerous? He wasn't a masochist. He wasn't a self-made martyr. But the reason he did is that he had helped to start that kind of blood opposition to people who think differently than you are to be killed. You remember the story that it was Paul who was the Saul who led in the opposition to Stephen, the first martyr of the church, and he thought it was absolutely okay in God's justice system that Stephen would be martyred. He would be stoned to death. And he was on the way to Damascus, as you know the story, to do the same for a bunch of other people. And he had been imprisoning men and women, and boys and girls were going without food because their dad and mom were locked up because of their faith. Paul helped to get all that started. And he was to change the conversation. It was up to him to show a different pattern. It was up to him to show this different model. How could he do it? He could do it because he was changed by Jesus Christ. We can do this in our circles, and you have important circles across our city and other regions of the world to be able to pray and to live a prayer. So that, oh God of love, make me into a person of love that I may love more like you. Oh God of justice, enable your will from heaven to flow through me by my life here on earth. Oh Lord, in a society that's being divided by uncivil discourse and by mistrust, help us truly to be a people that live our motto of in you, in God we trust. And by building those bridges in a relationship of Christ to help heal families and friendships and neighborhoods and workplaces, continue to protect that harmony and unity in a life of the church. We can do this. We must do this. And we are the ones to do this. To be able to, in faith eyes, to be able to see kind of a larger purpose of what's possible, because God is doing that of what is possible. Yesterday we had the memorial service for Don Stinson, a wonderful long-term member of our church who in 1968 was brought to San Antonio to take over the food program of 103 San Antonio Independent School, in the San Antonio Independent School District, to kind of run the food program. He had the antiquated equipment and antiquated ways and got it all updated. He was one that helped to begin the work of providing a breakfast for children who lived in what is now called food insecurity because they weren't able to have it at home because of the difficulties there. And he got concerned about what would happen with them and food in the summer. I mean, Don, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, understood that in his work in the public school system, he could help to apply the gospel in a way that would give effective and efficient service of food to children and also to help their families. So he saw that maybe there's a larger purpose of what God had called him to do in his life and to let this be a food ministry that he gave himself to. And he did it remarkably well. That's still influential today. Don understood that food was important. When he was in his early 20s, he was a co-pilot in the Army Air Corps, and the World War II was on, and he was flying a big cargo plane across the Pacific Ocean, and they'd really been warned not to take off, but his officers told him, you've got to get those supplies to their next destination, and they flew against the headwinds, and so the fuel of the plane was being used up quickly, and they weren't sure they were going to get to where they were supposed to land. As a matter of fact, it became clear that they weren't. And they remembered a story about a guy called Eddie Rickenbacker, who when he went into the water, he talked about how hungry he was when there was a crash landing in the ocean. And he just was remember being hungry and then working out survival. So the next thing is that Don's co-pilot on this plane in a crisis looked at Don and saw that he was eating a sandwich. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm going to be fueled by food so I can do whatever needs to be done when we land. And he wasn't anxious a bit. When life is on the line, we discover who we are. They found an island, a secret base, where they could land, get refueled, and finish out their mission. But it's in those moments that we can have some clarity about the preparations that have happened in our life. Paul was saying to the people there at the temple in their language of Hebrew, I was wrong, and this is how I've changed, and this is what I've learned. And I invite you to unlearn some things I taught you earlier in my life about hatred and enmity and who's in and who's out. And I've come to tell you that it has changed my heart. And I keep on learning and I keep on growing. And then he said, and so this is why I share the faith with the Gentiles. Oh, as soon as he said that word, you would think he had said, and I share my faith with the Texans, you know. He said, I share my faith with people who are different than those of us who are here. And as soon as he said that, they were again trying to kill him. That's what got Jesus killed on the cross, is that he came for everybody to have this faith movement of the gospel to touch their hearts and change their lives and set them free. Well, this became really clear for Paul, and he spoke about it and he wrote about it. He put it in the writings that we now call the New Testament, when he would say to the capital of the Roman Empire in Rome, when he wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I will not be ashamed of God's hope in the world, because it is this very hope by which then we have this gift of salvation. Or he would write to the churches of Galatia, part of that southern region of Asia Minor, and he said, now let's be clear about this, that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. It was a radical movement that part of what opened the hearts of people to know that they could belong. It was through the church at Colossae that he wrote, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." In you, wherever you go, that is your identity paper. It is your authority. Christ is in you, and that gives hope, and this hope becomes a glory by which others may see that hope in their life. And then he would say, oh, that most famous of his lines, "For I can do all things," as you know it, say it with me, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we can know who we are when our life is on the line, because we can do all things. We can truly be this person shaped by the love of God, who gives us strength to live in the challenges of our time. The invitation now is an invitation of opportunity. It was on an August the 16th that Sadie then walked the aisle and said, "Now this weekend is when I've decided to accept Christ," and she came to commit her life to Christ. Others have come and are waiting their baptism. Or to come and say, like the Sheldnuts did a good while back now, that as a family, this is our place to be. This is our family. This is this church family. This is where we are. They were military family at the time. We belong. And to you, O Lord, we come, all Christians, committed unto you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.